You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Oh, we're starting it over. All right. Because we're working hard. This is my lean-in shovel. All right. Dude! Good, and I can do this for the next hour, and we should be good. Actually, Kurt's not in here. Kurt is a PennDOT worker, so watch what you say. And Kurt gave us all of these things to let me use for this morning to talk about what we're going to talk about. These things are heavy. I actually said to him, like, dude, those cones are incredibly heavy. He's like, yeah, try putting down about 150 of them in a row. It ends up becoming a bit of a challenge. So, obviously, I'm a road worker. I am not a member of the Village People. Just to clarify, Bruce Springsteen, not YMCA. But I wanted to talk about building a road. I don't know if you've ever been a part of building a road. I doubt it, actually. I've never been a part of building a road myself. But first of all, this is one thing I know. Roads are stinking expensive. If you think about it, like, I realize that, like, you know, like a 50-foot stretch of highway probably costs more than 3 or 4 of my houses. And that's kind of sad when you think you're like, anyway. But building a road, you know, there's all sorts of things that go into building a road. I'm sure you know this. You know, you have to start with what is the best layout? Where is the best place to put the road? You know, you want to try to do your best to get it in an area that will work well. And so that would mean, like, you know, relatively flat, relatively few obstructions, relatively few, like, rivers and things like that. You know, that doesn't work so well for building a road unless you're going to build a bridge. And so if you're going to do that, then you got to start with the area. Then you do your surface prep. You know, you got to clear out the area. You need to make sure everything is cleared out. So then you can begin kind of working down and digging down in to get your foundation. And that foundation is probably like some gravel, some good compacted soil. If you guys drive to State College, and if you go to State College regularly for work, you know, you go right through all this road construction as they're building this new road, this new highway. And then you've kind of got another base layer. And again, I don't know anything. I'm not a professional, despite my hard hat. You know, I have one. But then there's like another layer, and then you're kind of like, oh, they must be done. And then they're like, no, there's another layer. And you're like, oh, okay, that's definitely it. No, then there's the seal layer. Okay, then they're done. No, they're not. Then they have to kind of tear it all up and do it again. Just that's the way it always seems to be. But building a road takes lots of work and all this effort. And you know, say you're going from here to State College, which, again, they're working on that right now to make it a faster, easier trip to get there. And so there's a lot of work that goes into doing that. But say you're here in Lewistown, which you are, and you're like, you know what, I don't want to go to State College. I want to go to, I don't know, Stealens Grove. Well, if you're going to go to Stealens Grove, you need to take a different road. And there needs to be a different set of things there. Of course, if you've ever been to Stealens Grove, it's not necessarily the fastest route. If you're taking, what is that? 522, thank you. Yeah, certainly. Taking that out to Stealens Grove. But, you know, if you want to go to Harrisburg, now there is a 322 does go to Harrisburg. You take a highway down there. But say you wanted to go to, I don't know, a more direct route to somewhere like, I don't know, somewhere weird. Like, I don't know, where are you from, Justin? Warriors Mark, that's right. Yeah, somewhere weird like Warriors Mark, you know. Basically, depending on where you want to go, you kind of look at the roads. And of course, there are some places you need to go. And if you want to go to Altoona, for example, you can kind of do a winding road, or you can go up to State College and then over on 99 to get there. Because there's all these different roads that you need to take. And that's great if the road is going where you want to go. If the road isn't, it becomes much more of a challenge, especially if it was your job to build the road to get there. And so that makes things kind of difficult. It makes things kind of annoying, kind of frustrating. And that's, you know, that is what it is. Unfortunately, that principle is pretty easy because we can look at Kurt, by the way, not Kirk, different public servants, just different roles, you know, Kirk, postal carrier, Kurt, PennDOT worker. And we could be like, hey, Kurt, thank you so much for what you do. But, dude, I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad I don't have to move 150 cones. And that's easy to kind of say that's his responsibility. Unfortunately, as parents, we end up doing the same thing. We end up building roads. And, you know, that's cool if you're trying to build a road, except that we as parents, our job is not to build roads. Our job is to build people, to build our children. And this idea of building a road, we often think of parenting as our job as a parent, especially, you know, kind of the culture out there. Their job of a parent is to prepare the road for your kid. And so that might mean, depending on the age of your child, you know, that means safety locks on everything. That might mean, depending on how your child gets up really early and perhaps wanders out of the house, that might mean a deadbolt that you cannot unlock without a key. You know, it might mean different things like that. And that's great, but, you know, as they get older, maybe it means, you know, no TV without the parents seeing, or, you know, and all these different things. And eventually trying to insulate and isolate our kids from every possible thing that might come along their way. And that is a problem because we can't. You can't do that. You will burn yourself out. You will wear yourself out. And you still won't even accomplish the goal. Because I'll just say it the way we discussed it in the creative team. Because we think our job is to prepare the road for our children. But our job as parents is to prepare our children for the road. And so as parents, when it comes to this idea of fences, we need to stop trying to make it sure that everything they do is perfect and that we've got them sheltered. And as a helicopter parent is a phrase that's used a lot, you know, that everything is protected, everything is safe, everything is good. And we can't keep everything out of their life that we should, or we don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to feel hurt. And so therefore we allow them to do things that we shouldn't. And it just becomes this whole mess. And the issue is that our focus is wrong. It's not about where they're going. It's about who they are. And so this morning, as we talk about this series of fences, we're going through looking at different fences, different boundaries we need to place around areas of our lives. And of course, we looked at different things over the weeks. We talked about boundaries in marriage, fences in marriage. We talked about fences in our sexuality last week. We talked about fences in friends a couple weeks ago, about what friends we allow into our influence circle. And today I want to talk about fences in parenting. And the point that I want you to get is that fences in our parenting protect our children's future. Last week we talked about how fences in our sexuality protect our future. Today I want to talk about how fences in our parenting protect our children's future. So if you're not a parent here, you're like, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me. First of all, you're going to have a chance in your prime group this week to say, how can we help parents? Because what I'm about to say is very different from what Dr. Phil has to say about parenting. It's very different from what your buddy on Facebook says when they say, oh, it's okay, hon. It's very different from what the world is portraying parenting to be. And it's biblical, which makes it a challenge. And so if you're not a parent, maybe you can listen this morning and say, how can I help the parents? How can I help the parents around me do this? And maybe you're an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, or you have some sort of other role over children. Like, dude, these principles apply. So I want to talk about this importance of not preparing the road for our kids. You get that? Making sure that everything is set up, everything is wherever they go, whatever they do, instead of saying, how can I prepare my children for the road? And what I'm talking about today, too, don't be like, well, my kids are over the age of 8, so I guess none of this applies. No, this actually applies all of your life. This applies for adult children as well. It's just the manner on which you do these things is going to change. You know, you're probably not going to send them to their room if they don't even live with you. It's just not going to work so well. But the principles still apply. And so I'm going to talk about these things. And I understand that when I get into this stuff, it's not necessarily controversial, but it's definitely like, well, that's not what I heard on TV. It's very different, I think, when we understand it, because I think our culture is teaching us to prepare the road for our children. Make sure that everywhere they go, everything they do is set up and safe and organized and coordinated and all of that. And our job, that's not our job. Our job is to prepare our children for the road. So I'm going to take this off because it's sweaty. And so I want to look at this idea. And we're going to look at a verse here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, just one verse, verse 4. And by the way, if you're in here and you're a parent and you've got children and they're in the building with you and you're thinking, wow, dude, I wish my kids would hear this because they totally need to hear this. They are, actually, but we're doing just the opposite. Like I said a moment ago, how can we help you as a parent? Well, upstairs they are learning two verses earlier than this where it says, parents or children, obey your parents, for this is right. And so they're going to be learning why they need to listen to you. Why, you know what, unless you're perfect, why it's good to understand that, you know, your parents aren't going to get it right every time. But that doesn't mean they're right most of the time, and they're right sometimes. And so we're going to be encouraging your kids to respect you and to obey you as parents. So in Ephesians chapter 6, just one verse here, it says parents. And I've got this in brackets because you may have, your translation may say fathers. The Greek word is pater, which is translated fathers or as a head of the family or as a parent. So the word can apply because I don't want the ladies to be like, oh, you better listen to this, dad. This is for moms and dads, parents, and frankly, any guardian role that you have. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So there's some things I want to talk about here that this is Paul writing to the church he planted in Ephesus. And he's saying to these people in this church, he says, look, parents, here are some important things that you need to know, that you need to do when it comes to your children. And again, no matter your age, he's talking to everyone. And so here's some things that he suggests for preparing children for the road. The first thing, and this is kind of the overall heading, and that is don't provoke. Don't provoke. And depending, again, on what translation you're looking at, here's what Ephesians 6:4 says in the NLT. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Other translations say, do not exasperate your children. Another translation says, do not wear your child out by how you deal with them. And the whole concept of all these words, and by the way, and I think we've talked about this before, like, you know, the original language, the Old Testament was primarily Hebrew, New Testament primarily Greek. That's what they wrote. That's what they spoke. That's how it was. And so we translate it today. And you know, even in our American, we had this whole discussion about whether a Mustang was a hot rod and all that kind of talk and a race car. But in our translation, you know, things mean different things. If I said a vehicle, that could mean anything to you. It could be a plane, a car, a truck. If I said a car, okay, that narrows down the field a little bit more. And if I said a Ford, that narrows down the field a little bit more. And just so you understand that even in our English, we use words in kind of a generic sense and in a big picture, and sometimes we don't know exactly what is meant by the nuance. So that's all I'm saying, is that the reason why you've got different translations is because they're like, this is what the word means, and you know, how do you want to word it? Do you want to word it as exasperate? Do you want to word it as do not provoke? Do you want to word it as do not, cause your children to become angry? The whole point is, sorry, a little aside there. The whole point is, Paul's like, look, parents, when it comes to preparing your children, your job is to not provoke them, to not wear them out, to not exasperate them. And I think the reason Paul starts with that is because I don't know about you, but as a parent, this is easy. It is easy to exasperate my kids. It is easy to wear them out. It is easy to be like, I don't want to do anything. I'm watching TV. Go do what I say. It's easy. It's easy to be annoying. It's easy, honestly, on the other side of this too, to just care about whether your kids like you. And I hate to say this, but if your job, and this is in my notes, I guess, in some sense, if you think your role as a parent to make your kids like you, you have missed what parenting is all about. I mean that 100%. You're like, oh, that hurts. I don't care. Our job isn't to make them like us. Our job is to love them and to guide them. And we'll get to that in a second. But we have this idea like, oh, I don't know. And so it all comes down to this idea of, are we just frustrating and annoying our kids because we're not actually parenting them. And I think that's what Paul's getting at here. That's what he's saying. He says, look, don't provoke them to anger. Don't, by the way you treat them, don't exasperate them. Don't wear them out. Don't frustrate them. Instead, parent them. Because it's easy to go along with all these other things because those are easy. And I mean, dude, if you're like, oh, I didn't know this parenting thing was so hard. Well, you probably didn't because maybe you didn't pay attention to last week. Like, there's a reason why Paul says, hey, let's save this thing for marriage because it's hard. You need help. So, the first thing he says is don't provoke. And our job is not to exasperate or wear them out or to make them angry or frustrated. And I did some research into this trying to figure out, like, is this a right now thing? Does it mean like, oh, Dad, I don't care. I'm not going to take the trash. Like, you make me angry. You provoke me to anger. Like, no. No, this is more of a long game. This isn't like they get mad because you tell them you can't do that, or no, you're not allowed to watch that, or no, you can't be around those friends. This is a long game anger. This is a, Dad, why didn't you do anything? Mom, why didn't you say something about this? How come you never sheltered me? This is an adult child going, why? Why did you allow this to even happen? Why did you just sit back and let it go? And that's this idea of provoking to anger. Like Paul is saying, look, let's not be lazy. Let's be parents. Let's step up and do what it takes. That's why he starts with that. So he says, don't do that. But he offers three things that we should do. The first thing he says, but develop. Develop your kids. The rest of the verse, or this next part of the verse goes on and says, but rather bring them up. And this phrase means to nourish, to care for, to feed. And honestly, we looked at a passage in Ephesians 5 a couple weeks ago with marriage. And it said how no one hates their own body, but they nourish and provide for it. And that's what this word means. That's what this idea is. Paul says, look, don't just be lazy and annoy them and frustrate them. He says instead, one, provide for them. Provide for their needs. Nourish them. Give them what they need. Don't just sit back and be like, you need to figure it out. He says, provide, develop them, bring them up with what they need. And that is, again, that's harder than sitting back and doing nothing. That's harder than just, hey, they'll deal, they'll figure it out. But this idea of providing for them and bringing them up, and it doesn't just mean money. It doesn't mean, you know, work 3,000 hours a week so that your kids can have all that they need. Honestly, all that they need is you as a parent. That's probably more than they need than you making a lot of money and having a great job. But this idea of developing and providing for them. So that's the first thing he says. He says, don't provoke, but develop. The second thing he says is discipline. Don't provoke, but discipline. Discipline your children. In the next part of the verse, he says, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And we'll come to the instruction in a second. But it's key that he says that comes from the Lord. That's the other thing, too. We're going to talk about discipline. That's the fence that we're talking about. We need to be building fences around our kids and say, okay, these are things we're not allowing you to do. Why? Because I'm your parent, and I love you, and I'm parenting you. And I'm going to step up and do what needs to be done rather than sit back and be lazy. And so this discipline has to be not just discipline that comes from being convenient. It's certainly not, as we'll get to in a moment, discipline that comes out of anger. It's not discipline that gets you what you want so you can sit back on your butt and not do a thing. This is discipline that comes from the Lord. And this is key because we live in a culture, we live in a world where abuse is rampant. And maybe it's said it's more rampant than it actually is. I don't know. But if we're disciplining in a way that comes from the Lord, that is what God has designed, as God has set up, we're not going to, I mean, we're human, so we're going to mess up. But we're going to be in a lot safer place than if we're just doing it out of our own whatever. And so that's the second thing he says is discipline. And the word there, it means instruction. It means correction. It doesn't just mean, you know, when I get mad, I'll respond. It doesn't mean just a spank on the butt. It doesn't mean taking away their devices. It actually means to do that for the sake of correction. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But it's not just, the discipline isn't the end. It's not so that there is some sort of pain. Discipline is for the sake of correcting. And we're going to see that God disciplines us, and that is good. We need that correction. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture, all the Bible is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's the same thing, is that God's Word corrects us. It gets us back onto the right path. And that is what our job as parents is to discipline, to correct, to get them on the path. Not to just punish for the sake of, hope it hurts, but for the sake of correction. And that's why we need to build these fences. We need to say, no, that's not good. You're not going to go there. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to say that. No, you will not talk to me that way. No, you will not talk to them that way. Because we want to create this boundary and say, you know what? These are the things that matter. These are the key things. And so the second thing he says is we need to discipline. And then the third thing here, he says, don't provoke, but develop discipline and define. Define. To define something means to explain it, to help them understand what it means, what it's about, why it works, why it happens that way. And that's the last part of the verse here. He says, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And this word instruction means literally that. It means words. The word to instruct, to give some definition, to explain what's going on. And this is important because, again, it's easy to be lazy. It's easy, and I'm not here going like you all bad people. Like, I'm a human. It's easy not to do some of these things. It's easier. But he says here, you know what? We need to do this with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And so it's not a matter of just saying, okay, you're being punished, you're being disciplined. It's saying you're being disciplined, and here's why. Here's why you can't hang out with those friends. Well, you don't like me, Mom. No, actually, I love you. And that's why I'm not allowing you to hang out with those friends. Because fences in our parenting are protecting your future. You can't see your future, but if you could fast forward, like we talked about last week, if you could fast forward, you'd be like, whoa, these people are heading in a completely different direction. These people are not good friends to be around. So that's why I'm not allowing you to have that or be with them. Maybe it has something to do with a job. Maybe it has something to do with I don't know, devices, electronics, or this is why we don't watch that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago upstairs with Ignition. It was like, you know what, you might have rules as parents, and that's okay. And if your rules as parents don't match your friends' rules, your kids' friends' rules, that's okay too. Because we are more interested, we should be, as followers of Jesus, as parents, in saying, you know what, it's not about now. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about saying, I want to put you on the right path. And so instruction has to be part of that. Because just saying it, imagine you worked really hard. Let's say you're in middle school, because middle school is really hard just in general. And you had to write your 5-paragraph essay. Do we still do 5-paragraph essays? Is that a thing? Yeah, 5-paragraph? Okay, yeah, okay, good. So you had to do your 5-paragraph essay, and you spent hours on it because essays suck. And you did it, and you worked on it, and then you turned it in, and your teacher said 0. Okay? Why? Why did I just get a 0? I worked all this time on it. Because you're expecting as a student, you know, you would hope, that your teacher would say, oh, you know what? Because your 5-paragraph essay is actually 1 sentence. Maybe that's a good reason. Okay. Oh, so 5 paragraphs, maybe more than 1 sentence is a paragraph. I get it. Oh, because your topic was this, and you talked about some movie you watched last week. Oh, okay. And that is this idea of instruction, of definition, of defining, to say, here's what's wrong. It is wrong, but here's why. Here's the reason behind it. Because, again, we are developing children. We are developing them for the future. We're setting them up not for the – we're making the road straight for them. But we're making them ready for the road. Kendra and I were actually talking about this last week, how interesting it is, you know, that our culture – like, one of the things that if you're – I don't know. Let's say you're in your 40s, maybe in your 30s, probably in your 30s, you know – anybody under that age did not get one cool experience that we've had, and maybe it's still out there, but that is watching a edited for TV movie. How many of you ever watched an edited for TV movie? Okay, so here's the thing. I watched tons of movies because there was only TV. There was no Netflix. There was no Instant. There was none of that. And I'm like, that was a pretty good movie. That was fun. Like, for example, Click. Click was a movie. That was, like, talked about that last week. And then you go to watch it now, and you're like, what? What? I can't believe I'm watching this. You know, what were my parents thinking? And you're like, oh, right, edited for TV. And so now, you know, our kids don't have that chance of watching, I don't want to say it this way, they don't have the chance of watching trash and getting away with it. Like, but you know what I'm saying? When you edit it for TV, it changed the language. It cut out all the bad words. It changed the scenes. It cut out any, you know, violent scenes. It got rid of any sex scenes or nudity and changed it a bit. And, of course, if the movie was too short, it also added a whole lot of commercials. You know, like, dude, this movie is an hour and you've stretched it to three. But the difference is, here's the thing. That's the concept, is that we can be like, oh, you can watch whatever because it's all edited for TV. Well, now I have to teach my children to discern. Because I can't just say, well, someone else is going to, and frankly, even, what, I'm not even going to get into it. What do we trust other people to edit for us anyway? But now we have to teach discernment. And discernment is instruction. Discernment is saying, no, we're not going to watch that show. Why? Well, here's why. Here's the things that are in it. Here's the what they're saying. Here's how they're reacting. Here's what it's promoting. And that's discernment. So that the next time, if we're instructing, our kids go, oh, should I watch this? Oh, you know what? That's not that same thing. And I realize that that's not what God wants for me. God doesn't want me to be watching that. God doesn't want me to be supporting that. And so therefore, I'm not going to. And it's not a matter of saying, okay, every time you go to watch a movie, I know you're 47 now, but please send the list to me and I will approve it as dad whether you should watch it. Like, no, that's preparing the road for the kid. And our job is to prepare the children for the road. And that's where this definition comes in. It's such a key part, as we'll see in a moment. So our job as a parent, your job as a parent or a guardian, is not to provoke. Don't be lazy. Don't sit back and just frustrate them, exasperate them, and annoy them. Because it's easy to do that. And again, I'm not saying they're not happy with you. Do you understand the difference there? You might do things that are completely intentional, and they're like, I hate you. I'm going to my room. I'm never going to talk to you ever again. Okay, well, we'll see you when you need some food. But anyway, But you know, that's okay. But if we're just sitting back and be like, yeah, you know what, I can do whatever I want. My mom and dad don't care. My parents, it doesn't matter. That's that exasperation. He says, don't provoke, but develop. Provide for their physical needs too. We're not just talking about discipline, but provide for their needs. Discipline them, which we'll get to in a moment here. And then define, explain, instruct what's going on. Because again, we're talking about boundaries. We're talking about fences. We're talking about saying, these are things we're, as a parent, I am not allowing you to do, my child. And I might be mean. I might be callous. I might be the one that all of their other friends are doing it. But I'm okay with that because fences in our parenting is protecting our children's future. I'm not interested in you being happy with me now. Because right now, you know what? It's okay. I mean, like, I just think there's a lot of stuff in life we just need to get over sometimes because some things are more important. And I think this is definitely one of those areas. And we need to realize it's not about now. It's about the future. It's about the path that you're going to take. It's about the direction that you are heading. And again, some of these things all tie together as we talk about friends, here I am again. I can't say it last week. I can't say it this week. Fences in our friendships. I did it. Okay, so like when we talk about that, and we talk about parenting and era of marriage, like all of these things are definitely tied together. But specifically looking at what are the fences that we need to create as parents? What are the boundaries? Because again, our world says, well, let them explore. Let them be free to be themselves. Don't hold them down. Don't fence them in. Don't cause, you know, them to have rules or standards. How are they ever going to explore and become well-developed people in the world? Like, I'm afraid we're not too far away from finding out how that is going to work. And we're going to be like, wow, this isn't good at all. I mean, I conversations I've had with people like, yeah, you know, they quit that job. Why? Well, they made them work. Okay. Well, how did the other one think? Oh, well, it just didn't work for them because they wanted to give them money for actually doing a job. And they just didn't really want to do the job. So they quit there, too. Like, and just this whole culture of like, well, it's about me because everyone is preparing the road for me. Me, 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 me. And that's not right. It's going to not, I'm telling you, I'm not like some prognosticator. There's a big word. Like, oh, the world's going to fall apart in a couple of years or a couple of generations or whatever. But, dude, there's going to be a point where we're going to be like, wow, this just isn't working. Maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to go back to, I don't know, what God had in mind anyway, since he's the one that designed this whole thing. And he's the one that created marriage. He created sex. He created you and your children and the whole deal. So, I want to give you some tools. If we're talking about tools, if we're talking about road construction, here's some tools for you as a parent when it comes to preparing your kids for the road, preparing your children for the road. And again, when I say children, like the assumption is like, okay, children, but anyone who is a descendant of you, direct descendant of you, is your child. I hope you're aware of that. And it is your job to parent them. And dude, some of this is hard. I get it. This is a challenge. Like, there's all sorts of mess and ugly out there. And then, you know, I have the benefit of being married to my wife, and we are on the same page with our parenting. But some of you got all sorts of junk to deal with because you want to be a good parent, and you've got an ex that says, no, I don't want to do it that way. And I get that. I get that this is hard. And that's why we need to come around each other and work together on this. So let me give you some tools for the road. First of all, discipline intentionally. Discipline intentionally. Be on purpose about disciplining. Because discipline is love. And this is like the first step. Number one, you need to get it through your head that discipline is love. We assume that discipline is just the opposite. That discipline isn't love. That means I'm hurting or I'm causing some sort of mental anguish. Or physical pain, or they just might not be able to text their friends in the next hour. But that's just not fair. No, it's love. I'm taking that phone away from you because I love you. And if you're mad at me, I'm willing to take it because I'm taking it because I love you. And I know someone else that was willing to take some pain because he loved us too. We'll celebrate his resurrection next month. So discipline intentionally. Proverbs 13:24 says this. Those who spare the rod of discipline. Listen to how gentle Solomon is here. Those who spare the rod of discipline, meaning those who do not discipline, hate their children. Oprah would not like this verse, but that's okay. Because Oprah didn't write it, and Oprah isn't my standard. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So kids, students, if you're in this room and your parents disciplined you, they love you. And again, that's what we're teaching the kids upstairs too. He says, look, if you love your kids, you're going to discipline. This is a good thing. This is an okay thing. This is an appropriate thing because it's love. Because you're, again, trying to correct them. You're trying to set them up because you're not going to be there forever and in every situation to determine whether that road should be a road that they go on. You're preparing them to make that decision themselves. And if you don't discipline, you're not giving them that chance. And therefore, you're not doing your job. You're like, well, I didn't sign up for this. Well, you kind of did when you started to have sex. So, discipline intentionally. Understand. Like that's, again, that's the very first step. If you don't think that it's love, you're not, the rest of everything we're going to talk about doesn't apply. It doesn't matter. But you need to realize that it does matter and you need to be intentional about it and understand that this is something I'm doing because I love them. And it's going to require work. It's going to require time. It's going to require patience. It's going to require thick skin every once in a while. But we need to do it intentionally. And the second thing, now we're going to get a little bit more discipline punitively. Discipline should hurt. Now, before we go any further, it's like, whoa, you're all about child abuse. No. Abuse is different. We'll get to that in a second. There's a reason why abuse happens often. Because we're disciplining for the wrong reasons. And we're disciplining out of the wrong motives. But understand, first of all, biblically, it is okay to spank. There is nothing wrong with that. There's extra padding. We got it. All right? It's there. Like, It's okay. And there are multiple passages in the Bible that talk about, and even the one we just looked at there, about sparing the rod. Now, I wouldn't recommend beating your child with a rod. That's not good. But you know what? Maybe a swift with your hand? That's okay. Anyway, but discipline should hurt. And if discipline doesn't hurt, it's not discipline. As I talked about a few weeks ago, if my mom punished me and said, "That's it, you're not eating your lima beans at dinner tonight." Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, that's not discipline. Discipline should hurt. There should be some punishment to it. Because if it isn't, it's not going to correct. They're going to be like, it didn't bother me then. I'm just going to keep going down this path until it does bother. Until it causes some major issue in their future down the road. So discipline punitively, it should hurt in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, it's an empty threat. Oh, don't make me do that. Oh, it's okay, Dad, you won't. Don't worry, Mom. You're not going to. You just keep saying that. But you won't actually do it. So I don't really have to worry about what you have to say, and I'll just ignore you anyway and do my own thing. And then down the road, when things are really in bad shape, I'm going to be like, why? So, Hebrews 12, the writer says this. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement? Listen to that. It's encouragement. So there's some love we're about to be talking about here. Something good about what we're talking about here. That addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. That sounds like what we just talked about in Proverbs. The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as his son. God punishes us because he loves us. He goes on and says, endure hardship as discipline. So that sounds like it's going to hurt. Sometimes we go through hard times because God says, I need to get your attention. I need to bring up this issue because you need to fix something in your life. And it might hurt, but it's because I'm trying to discipline you. I'm trying to correct your path and your direction. He says, God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? There's an assumption there that we do discipline. If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you recognize that I am a failure and a human being. Did my best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Now listen to what he says here. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. If it's pleasant, it's not discipline. If it feels good, you've kind of missed the point. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. There's that phrase again, that word, that correction, by it. The writer of Hebrews says here, look, discipline hurts. Discipline is painful, but that's okay because it is helping us get on the right path. It is helping us make the right choices. It is helping us become more like Jesus. And we need to recognize as parents that that is okay. If it hurts, then it's okay. Now, again, there's all sorts of levels of children. And I'm not recommending this. I don't even think they make them anymore. When I was young, they had these plastic paint stirrers with the holes in them. You know what I'm talking about? You remember those things? They were plastic and about this long. And they looked like a ruler and they had holes in them and they whistled before they smack. It hurt. Boy, it hurt. I think it might be still a little marks. I don't know. But you would hear it. You're like, oh. Smack! And again, I'm not like some say it's probably better to use your hand because then you can judge the amount of pain perhaps you're inflicting. But here's the issue with that for me is I was like, didn't hurt. Do it again. It didn't hurt. You know, like it hurt. My parents were like, that hurt. That's discipline. That's going to correct some things in him. And I'm just saying, and again, there's a line here about abuse that we need to be careful. I also think that our culture is quick to call all sorts of things abuse that aren't. They're also just called discipline. And again, I'm kind of leaving that out there. I'm saying that if your discipline doesn't hurt, and maybe physical discipline, you know, you had a background, you were abused physically as a child, so you can't bring yourself to do that. That's fine. then if you're going to punish them with something else, you know, send them to the room, but make sure there isn't an Xbox up there, their tablet, and three other things. Like, how about send them to the room and sit in their bed and can't do anything? Or give them paper. They have to read a book or something like that. You know, crazy. But whatever is appropriate, make sure that your discipline hurts. You have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, it's an empty threat. The next thing, discipline lovingly. Now, this is slightly different than the first thing, but we need to discipline in love. We need to not only recognize that discipline is love, but the manner in which we go about disciplining should be in love. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this, and here it comes, right? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And that, on some level, did your parents ever say that to you? On some level, should be true. If we're doing this like, this is fun, go to your room or get out of my face. Like, again, that comes back to the, oh, I just spit. Sorry if I got you. That kind of goes back to this idea of being lazy. Like, it's easy to be like, go to your room. Why? Because I want to do my thing without you bothering me. That's not discipline. That's laziness. And that's not disciplining lovingly. That's selfishness. And so when it comes to disciplining in love, it's saying, I'm doing this because it's good for you. I'm doing this because I love you. And this is what Paul says. He's actually talking about not just parents, but everyone as followers of Jesus, that we should speak, instead we will speak the truth in love, which means truth and love. We talked about that last week, grace and truth, this whole idea. Like, there are things we're going to have to say, and they're true. And we're going to have to say them not only to each other, but also to our children. And it might make them upset. It might anger them. It might make them go, well, that's not fair. Whatever. But if it's truth, we need to say it. Why? Because we're saying it in love. Because it needs to be said. To ignore it is a waste. And he goes on and says, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And it's the same thing with us as brothers and sisters. Like, there are times where I'm going to need to say something to you, or you're going to need to say something to me. And it might sting, but I need to hear it. Because I want to be corrected. I want to go down the path that matters. I want to go in the direction that God wants me to go. But we have two options. We can ignore it and not speak the truth. And we think that's loving, but it's not helping anything. Or we can speak the truth and not add the love to it. And just be mean, cruel, hard people. Which goes back to the whole exasperating, wearing out your children, provoking them to anger. So we need to discipline lovingly. There we go. So understand that you're doing it in love. So it is love to do it, and then in the way you do it, you're doing it in love. The next thing here is discipline rationally. Discipline rationally. Never in anger. As soon as you're disciplining in anger, you're crossing lines. Because you're becoming selfish, first of all. It's not about them, it's about you. Because you're mad at something that they did. Something that they broke. Something that they crossed the line on. And it's and a part of that's like it makes sense in the sense that, you know, when something bad happens, now if it's our stuff, that's a little different. But when we see our kids make a bad choice, like, it gets infuriating, because on some level that does reflect back on you because you're the parent. Some level that reflects back on me. And so there's this anger that's kind of brewing in there. And that should not be the moment and the reason and the why we discipline, is because we're angry. James says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why, James? Why should we be slow to become angry? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. As we talked about a moment ago, Hebrews says that discipline is to help us become righteous, to help us become more righteous on the path of righteousness. James says anger doesn't get you there. So if our goal is to help correct and to help give that definition and that instruction and help give the kids the way to go, help them prepare them for the road, we can't be doing it out of anger. Because here's the thing, anger is rage. The word means, like, it's a flame, it's a flare-up, it's a fast thing, and it's not controllable. It's not easy to understand. And for your kids, this is hard. And I get this because this is my issue. Like, I get angry. And it's hard to tell, like, is dad in a good mood? Did he get a good night's sleep so I can obey these rules or not obey these rules depending on dad's mood? I've messed up.
It's not about dad's mood, whether you obey the rules. It's about the standard of God's word, saying, okay, what does God want? And so we need to be very careful that we do not discipline in anger, that we are being rational in our discipline. And that may mean you are furious and you say, you know what, son, we're going to deal with this later. And then do, which we'll get to in a second. But that's wise, because again, if you start adding into physical, like if you're talking about some sort of physical punishment, a spanking out of anger is a whole different story. And then you again start crossing that line into abuse. So I'm saying never in anger. Discipline rationally, because there's so many ways that it doesn't work. So when it comes to discipline, say, okay, I might be angry, but you're going to be dealt with, but we're not going to do it right now because it's not wise for either of us. So the next thing here, which then gets into this, is discipline consistently. Even if you don't feel like it. And this is where it's easy to provoke our kids. It's easy to exasperate them and wear them out with our discipline, because there are times where we just don't want to deal with it. And so this standard that we held high, if we're tired, doesn't apply. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. That there's this idea that, okay, again, it comes back to the mood. No, dad angry, dad not angry. You know, mom lazy, can I get what I want? Or mom on task? And we have to be consistent, because that's the whole point of the correction. That's the whole point. That's the reason why you would submit math assignments and you would get some wrong. And they would say, okay, here's why. Because 2 plus 2 equals 6. Doesn't equal 6. Sorry. Equals 4. See? But you have to keep doing all those stupid, endless math problems so that after a while you understand how it works. It's a consistency thing. You had to do, I don't know if you guys had to do like 5 times each with vocabulary words back when you were in like elementary school. Or put them in a sentence. Like, do these things over because it developed repetition. Right now, we've got a driver in our home. We have 3 of them. But one of them is the process of getting her license. And she is required to have 65 hours, road hours with a parent before she can get her license. Why? Because that consistency helps develop the habits that matter. And as a parent, when it comes to disciplining, you need to be consistent. If this is a rule today, it should also be the rule tomorrow. Unless you go, wait, that's not good. I messed up on that one. And then you go to your kids and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. That's not good. This is good. But it shouldn't be like, whatever. Because you're not learning. They're not learning anything. You need to be consistent in your discipline. So let's read what Proverbs 23 says here. Don't fail to discipline your children. Don't fail. Don't get lazy. Don't see an opportunity. You're like, I should probably do something about that. I can see you sitting there on the couch. Are you going to do something about that? Somebody should do that. I'm not going to. Do you want to do that? No, I don't want to do it. It's all right. Like, no, that's not really good. Don't fail to discipline. And then listen to this. This is just a nice little thing to keep in the back of your mind. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Discipline will not kill them. The rod of punishment, he says physical discipline, he's talking about this, it is not going to kill them. Even though culture would say, oh, you're destroying their future, you're ruining their lives, you're messing them up, they're not going to experience everything they need to experience. And I'm not sure if this one is Solomon or not. It's in Proverbs. He says, look, it's not going to kill them. However, listen to this. He goes on and flips it the other way and says, however, physical discipline may well save them from death. He said, right now it's not going to kill them, but if you do this right now, it actually might save them from something literally death or painful later. So he says, don't fail. Don't be lazy. Be consistent. Do it. It matters. Discipline in a way that they need it. And there's all sorts of studies, too, that this is actually beneficial. I mean, let me ask you this. Have you ever worked for a boss? And if you're an employee of MC3, please do not raise your hand right now. And you're like, I never know what they want. Some days they're good about this. Some days they want that. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow these instructions. Like, why are you wasting your time? Follow those instructions. Why don't you just, you know, live from the gut? Okay, I'm living from the gut. Wait, we have policies for that in place. Like,
if you've ever had that experience, you're like, this is awful. And maybe you did quit your job then, because this is not worth it. Because we need consistency. We want consistency. We want to know what's expected. And again, not that we're perfect here, but there's a reason why you have a commitment if you're serving in any ministry at MC3. It says, here's what's expected of you. Take it or leave it. Like, at least you know what we're looking for. So that you can serve with knowing what we expect and knowing what's needed from you. And then the other thing about this, too, is follow through, as we said a moment ago. Like, don't just say you're going to discipline. Do it. Can we please, like, if you have toddlers, maybe you're learning to count. Please count with your children. Do it. It's good. Beyond that, can we stop counting? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Don't make me count to three again. One, two. Like, no, if you're going to count to three, when you get to three, you better do something. That's called consistent parenting. And again, it's easy to be lazy in some of these things. It's easier to be like, you know what, I just don't feel like this. I don't want to take the time to punish you. Frankly, I want you here because I want you to do something else. I want you to clean the kitchen, you know, whatever. Like, and you have to be consistent and don't just count. Actually follow through. I'm going to count to 78. Okay. Good luck with that. And then finally, and then this comes back to the idea of the defining discipline and the instruction. Finally, discipline restoratively. Restoratively. I think that is actually a word. It did not spell check. So I'm good. It's a real word. Restoratively. Discipline isn't the end result. Discipline isn't the goal. Punishment is not the target. Get that. Discipline is the means to the goal. What is the goal? Pursuing righteousness. What is the goal? Following Jesus. What is the goal? Doing what is best for their future. Discipline isn't the end. It's the means to that end. And so therefore, when we discipline, we need to take time and give that instruction, give that definition, give that explanation. Say, here's why. Here's what it means. In Galatians 6:1, Paul writes, it says, brothers and sisters, he's talking about the whole church, not just parents. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. If someone is sinning, you need to go along and restore them. Fix the relationship. Bring them on the right path and do it gently. And so as a parent, if they do something they shouldn't, why did you call them after 10 o'clock when you know you're not supposed to make phone calls? I'm taking your phone. That's the punishment. But Dad, if that's not fair. You know what? I'll take it. And you'll get your phone back, not in 10 minutes, but maybe in a couple of days. Because it's punishment that's meant to hurt. And then I'll say, here's your phone back. Do you know why I took it? Because I'm not angry. I took it because it's important for you to understand. One, you need sleep. And two, if there's someone you have to call after 10 o'clock at night, why are you calling them? Because what's going on in this relationship? Why do you need to be secret about it? What are this? And you're walking them through and say, this is why. Because this is bad for you. I'm not going to let you hang out with those people. Why? Because I said so. Because I'm your parent. But then say, because look at them. Do you see the direction they're headed? Is that a direction you want to be going to? But Mom, you're so unfair. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Because I'm not preparing the road for you. I'm preparing you for the road. So, these tools for the road. Discipline intentionally, discipline punitively, discipline lovingly, discipline rationally, discipline consistently, discipline restoratively. And that restorative thing too, this is something that I learned from my father-in-law. Was when there's punishment, afterwards, you pull them aside. Sit them on your lap, depending on their age. Hey, I love you. I still love you. And I discipline you because I love you. And it's that whole, hug it out kind of thing. Like, we're in this together. It's not just because punishment is the goal. So fences in our parenting protect our children's future. It's not about now. We're not preparing the road for them. We're preparing them for the road. And it's going to require work. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be frustrating. But it's worth it because it's about their future.
It's not about our comfort, convenience, or selfishness, or laziness now. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that this isn't just something we have to wing. That there's actually instruction and guidance and direction for what it looks like to parent and what it looks like to discipline specifically. And I pray that you would help us to find that line, to get up when we need to get up and do something when we need to do something, and find the way to make the punishment actually hurt, make it make a difference so that we can correct them and draw children closer to you, guide them closer to the path of righteousness, guide them in a way that honors you for the sake of not now, but for their future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will say this too. You know, there's a lot of things about parenting that we talk about. This was specifically on discipline. This week on Facebook, we'll be posting some links to some of the other point series that talk about other areas of parenting if you're looking for other stuff.